I love Christmas. I love the decorations of Christmas. I love the lights of Christmas. I love gift giving. And in a couple days, we're going to be giving gifts away. And I love that. I love it all. I love the music. I love the songs. I love the song we just sang. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. I mean, think about that for a moment. That someone was born and angels came from heaven to sing. What kind of a king was that? What kind of a night must have that been where angels came to celebrate and to sing a newborn king? What a birth announcement. I mean, that was like the birth announcement of all birth announcements where angels came. I want us tonight to read the Christmas story together and look at it. Now, I know you've probably heard a lot of Christmas over the last few weeks and watching TV, and Charlie Brown's given his version, and Clark Griswold may have given his version, and if you watch Die Hard, maybe that's your Christmas movie, or maybe you're an anti-Die Hard Christmas or whatever, I don't know. But I know that we hear a lot of Christmas, but we cannot come tonight and not hear from the Gospels of the story. The Christmas story, the birth of Christ. And so Matthew writes about that. Luke writes about that in our New Testaments. And I want to read a little bit from that. Matthew says this. He says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. So this is what we need to hear tonight. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. So right now, this story is already filled with just extraordinary, miraculous detail. I mean, a virgin, Mary, the virgin, is pregnant by the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's the Son of God, and already we're setting this story up to be not like none other. And the story is just not ordinary. It's extraordinary. And then Luke tells a little bit of the backstory of kind of the evening and what that would have looked like. So if we flip over to Luke, he tells this. He says, at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus declared that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And we understand this story. It's like, so Mary and Joseph are traveling and they have to go to a new town because they have to do the census. The government says, hey, everyone go to your hometowns and record how many people are in your family, and they're traveling there. And then we know this is where Jesus is born. This is your nativity scene on your coffee table or at home. And you know this is where Jesus is born, and she gives birth to Jesus and lays him in a manger. And to be honest, from our perspective, that in itself is extraordinary. But in their setting, let's kind of try to rewind back a couple thousand years. A rural community like Bethlehem and even in Nazareth, it wasn't like, that's not a crazy scenario. They knew they were on the road. They knew that there's no hospitals. They don't have big 5-star hospitals like we do. They know that it's going to be a home birth or something like that. And when they're on the road, they have no idea what they're getting into. And so was it inconvenient for them to not have room in the inn? Yeah, it was inconvenient. But was it crazy for them? Was it crazy extraordinary for them? It really wasn't. It was from our perspective, like, we can't even fathom that. From theirs, it was like, wow, you know, we don't have a guest room, but this will do. So it wasn't like extraordinary for them. But what was extraordinary, what was taking place right on the edge of town that they didn't even know about. So here's Jesus being born in a manger, and on the edge of town, then that's where the miraculous, the extraordinary part of the story comes in. And Luke writes about this. Luke says this, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. So these shepherds are doing what shepherds do day in and day out. They're watching their sheep during the day. They're traveling with their sheep. When I was in Tanzania, they would put one bell on like one sheep, and then they would always know if they're out in the trees in the thicket, they would know that their herd was nearby and they could hear the bell ringing. So during the day, they're moving them to greener grasses and pastures and stuff like that. But at night, they'd get them bedded down, and the shepherds would start a little campfire and get them situated, and they just kind of bed down for the night. They did this day in and day out, day in and day out, every day, every night, pretty typical. It was like a normal, ordinary, typical thing to do. And I kind of think about this part of the story, and then I kind of think about us, and I think sometimes Christmas is like that. It's just another Christmas. You're here again. Maybe the last time you were at church was Christmas, or maybe it was Easter, and it's just the thing to do. It's like, yeah, I just want to get into some kind of a church to have some kind of Christian, you know, Christmas story once a year, and it's typical to be here, and we go to church, and we're going to give some gifts away, and we sing some songs, and it's just ordinary. It's typical. It's the thing you do. You might be sitting here going, it's just another Christmas, and I'm at the Fields Church, and my family member brought me here. I come every single Sunday, and it just happens to be, you know, Christmas weekend, and we're here, and it's just typical and normal to be here on a weekend that's very close to Christmas. But it doesn't always come out that way that it's typical, because the story goes on. It says this: Suddenly, so it went from camping at night, just like any other night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Suddenly, an angel comes down. Suddenly, the heavens opened up, and there's this glare of light, and there's this angel before the shepherds, and they're sitting at their campfire, and all of a sudden, they're talking to an angel, and angel's talking to them, and suddenly, what was just supposed to be just an ordinary day on the farm turned out to be an extraordinary day out in the pasture, that with this angel comes by. Have you ever just thought you were going to have an ordinary day, and then boom, something happens, and what was supposed to just be a typical day, everything just kind of changes? I remember about 13 years ago, I was sitting in my office, and I was here in this building as a youth pastor at the time, and I was sitting at my desk, sitting at my laptop, working on a message. And I was, you know, doing what youth pastor kind of things do, and just working on my message for high school kids. And the phone rings, and it is my cell phone, and it was Joy. And Joy calling me in the middle of the day, which isn't crazy, but she calls me. Now, let me back up, though. What was kind of the crazy part was 5 to 10 minutes before the phone, on her perspective, she was in a different town. She does home health for Sarah Bush, so she was traveling. I think this time she was in Shelbyville, And just a couple days before, we were out we were in our garage, and we were cleaning. And 13 years ago, I had two boys. I had Dakota, I had Riley, and we were in the garage, and there was some baby stuff, a stroller and some just little kid stuff. And we're like, we need to clean this stuff out. We need to get rid of all this stuff. And so then here Joy is driving down the road, and all of a sudden she has this little a little hunch, a little bit of a, something's different. She pulls into CVS parking lot. She buys a pregnancy test. She gets in her car. She drives a block down the road. She gets out into a KZ gas station. She goes into the bathroom. She takes this pregnancy test. She says it's the longest 3 minutes of her life in a KZ bathroom staring at this test. She gets into her car. She gets on her cell phone, and she calls me, and she goes, "Guess what, Travis? We're having another baby." That's the birth announcement when you have three kids. Like the first one is like, ah! The third one, you're at a Casey's gas station making a phone call and saying, "I guess we're having another one." And so, I mean, we like debated, like, should we call him Cooper? Should we call him Casey? Should we call him Cooper? Should we call him Casey? But no, I'm just kidding. But I thought I was just having an ordinary day at the office, and Joy calls from a Casey gas station saying, "Oh, we're having another kid." And here's these shepherds having a typical night, sitting around the campfire, you know, chewing the fat, talking, and next thing you know, this angel arrives. This is how Luke talks about what the night would have been like. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And he goes on to say, a Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, will be born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. He's like, don't be afraid. The Savior is born. And he begins to tell them that this is a year that this is just monumental. Like, wow, like all of humanity had been waiting for this Savior. There had been these prophecies from men of God that was, someday you will be saved. Someday you will be let, you know, you will be freed from the slavery of life and your spiritual soul will be released. And they had this prophecy that one day the Messiah would come. And here's the day. This is the moment. And the shepherds receive the news. And it reminds me that just like they had to like open up their eyes to something extraordinary. I wonder if at Christmas, like now, we need to open up our eyes to something that can be extraordinary and we don't just settle in the ordinary. In fact, I would say this year, can we push through the ordinary and really seek the extraordinary that God has for us? You might be sitting here needing something from God today, tonight, something in your life. You need to let go of something. You need God to rescue from something, but you're just like, oh, it's never going to go away. Can you push through the ordinary and expect and seek the extraordinary, that life that God has for you? Because this Christmas can be different. Because when it comes to Christmas, it's the Savior of the world. And you listen to the angel tell the shepherd, I'm bringing you good news. I'm bringing you great joy. The good news was the Savior was born. Your sins can be forgiven. You don't have to walk tied up and bonded in this slavery of sin. You can be let go. You can be set free. And the joy is what replaces what the world is just full of, the anxiety, the bitterness, the feeling lonely, the depression that people face, the hatred, the tension, the turning on the news, turning on the TV, and it's just ugly and it's everything. And here, this angel's telling the shepherds, but I bring great joy. The Lord being born is this great joy, and God is going to bring joy into your life. Jesus even said this himself in John chapter 10, verse 10. He declares this to everyone. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And see, that's what we're missing in this world, is a life full of God who can replace all the other junk. And he comes in and says, no, I will fill you up. You can experience real life with me. And the angel tells the shepherds, man, this Savior is born. The Savior was to save them from their sins, our sins, to make our life spiritually complete. The Savior makes our soul whole, complete, not torn apart, not pulled apart. And I believe every time that you and I have the opportunity to hear about the Savior, we need to ask ourselves, like, is the Savior in my life? Have I said yes to the Savior? Because we all need a Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. And every time that we say yes to God, he comes in and he saves us from our sins. I'd love for you to hear even just a real story of how God is working in lives right here at the Fields Church at all of our locations. I want you to hear from a real couple that attend the Fields every week and see how God is working in lives. Let's watch this.
I basically never grew up in a church. Mara grew up Catholic, so she went to church more frequently. So we got together in college, and she's always been looking for or wanting to go to church and find a church that we both were comfortable going to, and that never really did happen up until just recently. So probably back in September, a year ago, or October, I saw an ad on Facebook about the Fields Church coming to Charleston. So I kind of just looked at it and looked at some the Fields Church videos and thought it was kind of neat. Come to find out the next day, Pastor Tim showed up at my work with Todd Foster and kind of introduced himself. And I was like, that's weird. He seemed like a normal guy, not like the preachers of the past that I've been introduced to or been around, you know. So that happened. Fast forward a few days later, and I get an email saying that I was signed up for this
house party
for the Charleston service. And I'm like, I didn't sign up for anything, you know? So I mentioned it to my wife, and she's like, oh yeah, I saw that on this ad on Facebook, so I read it, and I thought we should go. I'm like, oh, that's weird, because I just met the pastor a few days ago. So we both went and got to know some people. And then starting in January, when the fields opened in Charleston, we've been pretty much every weekend, and we've loved it. It's felt like almost family to us. One of the first weekends I went, like I said, I didn't grow up in a church, so I didn't know what to think. So, you know, one of the first weeks whether it be Pastor Tim or Pastor Travis was speaking directly to me, you know, whether it be something that happened in my life or something that's happened in my life or, you know, prior to or what's going on. It's just something that kind of tugged at my heart. And that day I checked the box that I wanted to begin a real relationship with God. And I don't think my wife even knew that I checked the box. I checked the box. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what was said, what in that moment, but whatever it was hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just felt the need to check the box and to follow Christ. It's hard to explain. To follow him and to learn about him, because like I said, I didn't know much. I don't know. I still don't know much, but I always thought, you know, there was a higher power. That's all I knew. You know, there's bad things that happen and I never understood why, you know, whether it be a friend passing away, a relative passing away at a young age or whatever. I just never knew anything, you know. I just always thought if you sinned, you went to hell, and that was that, you know. So now I understand
salvation.
Yep, that and why Jesus died, and you know, for us, for our sins, you know. So
I never had like a close feeling or understanding of everything. I just attended and went through the steps. And I don't remember feeling like I did. And now as an adult, attending the fields, just having that pull and the feeling of wanting a relationship and understanding that I could have a relationship with Jesus and understanding who he is more.
Wherever you come from, whatever your background is, Christ is there for you. And he will be there for you no matter what. And that's what you have to understand. Whether you're a horrible person or what background you come from, he's there to forgive you. He died for you.
God is so good. He's working in the Hildebrand's life, and they're just amazing couple, and Charleston is growing closer to God. And I'm gonna tell you, it's the idea that the Savior came into the world that even makes a story like that possible, that someone can say yes and their life can get completely turned around. And remember, it was that angel telling the shepherds, yes, a Savior was born. A Savior was born. The Savior is here. And then the story goes on. It's pretty fascinating because it wasn't just that one angel. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others in the armies of heaven praising God. And they were all saying this. They were saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. And there's this choir, this angel these angels show up to all these shepherds and they start singing glory to God and peace on earth, singing about all of the peace that they were longing for and needing and looking for. And I believe that that's the message we still need to hear today, that yes, there is good news. And yes, joy can be filled in your heart. And yes, there can be this peace that settles in. Because in the end of the day, God wants you to be at peace with him. He wants you to be at peace in your soul. He wants you to be at peace inside. And that's what Christmas is about. It's beginning that pathway back to him. It's God loving us so much that he sends his son eventually to die on the cross for us. But he has to come at some point. So he's born into the world as a baby in a manger. And that's Christmas. And it's the Prince of Peace being born. Matthew says it this way when he kind of explains just the very beginning. He goes, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And so maybe what you and I need to do on this Christmas, so it's not just ordinary, but it can be extraordinary, is ask ourselves, is God with me? Is God with me? Is God with us? Do you come here today maybe with an empty heart, and do you come here tonight maybe separated from God, and you're asking your own self, you're asking this question with all honesty, is God with me? Is he with us? Is Jesus the Savior of my life, and is he my King, and is he my leader? God with us. If you need tonight, this would be my prayer, and it's been my prayer for months heading into this very moment, is that you and I would ask ourselves that question, is God with us? And if the answer is, I don't know, then you can invite Jesus into your life. Maybe you just need to pray a very simple prayer that just says, Jesus, I need you. Maybe you just need to say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Maybe your prayer needs to say, Jesus, that joy that he talks about, I'm so full of tension and stress and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. Will you be the joy that I need in my life? Maybe your prayer is, I need peace in the midst of the chaos. I need peace. I need peace. Maybe the prayer is, I am ready to set life aside and follow you. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to follow you. Why don't you close your eyes with me tonight and just ask ourselves that question. Is God with us? Emmanuel. Jesus, I pray that today you would help us examine our own lives and our hearts. Help us to understand that you came into the world for us and to have relationship with us and to know us. So Lord, I pray that right now, we would reach out to you and invite you in our lives and call on you to be the newborn King, the King of our life, to be the Prince of Peace of my life, and to be Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine that choir of angels that night? What that night must have been like? Can you imagine how holy, how sacred, how monumental, how memorable it would be? What a holy experience it would have been. Well, I mean, they ran off and told everybody about it. It was just so meaningful. I think tonight it can be meaningful and memorable for us. Would you stand where you're at, and would you take your candles that you received on your way in? And let's begin to focus on Jesus as my King. As you hold that candle, just tell him, Jesus, you're my King. And then think about that night. It was a holy night back then, but I believe it can be a holy night right now. I believe that this could be a sacred moment in your life. Why? Because God is with us. Amen.